Welcome everybody to the new year. We appreciated all the support we got last year doing the show. It's a very new show, and there's a lot of work that goes on the back end to you know, bring in the guests, research the guests, put it all together. And I just wanted to say I appreciate everybody just on our end that makes this happen, and also all the guests that have been on up until, you know, the new year, last year. You know, Lizard King, big shout out to him. He came on a brand new show, you know, and that definitely took guts to just come on a brand new show and not knowing what to expect. So, you know, big leap of faith for him. We appreciated him. And we had you know, OTC Baller. We appreciated him from the OTC angle. I hope everybody got a lot of OTC info out of that. And then we had recently Laid Back, and also Miss Izzy came by as well. So those were our guests in 2020. So we're excited to move into 2021. And I couldn't think of anybody better to bring on as our first guest to start off the new year right. But The Rock, we're excited to have him. I just wanted to also take a moment to say, you know, if you enjoy the show and you find it helpful, you know, give this video a thumbs up, subscribe to our channel, all that stuff. Hit the notification bell, follow us on Twitter, follow The Rock on Twitter, at The Rock Trading. We are at Phase One Trading on Twitter. You know, we have a lot of great guests coming on in the new year. They're already booked, and we're not going to say who they are. But I think everybody's really going to enjoy the lineup that we have. But what I will say is we do have Captain Solutions coming on as our next guest. So that's going to be in 2 weeks. I believe that's the 19th. Let me just check my calendar really quick. Yeah, that's the 19th. Mm-hmm. So Captain's going to come on. They're going to talk a little bit about their platform and the solutions that they provide. And I know actually The Rock, he's actually on that as well, if I'm not mistaken. Right?
On what?
Captain Solutions.
Yes, of course. Yeah, big time supporter of Captain Solutions. I knew them when they had like 500 followers, you know, and they were just trying to get their software and with their website going. And so to see them grow to like over 10,000 followers in a very short amount of time, they're doing a very good job with their software.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I DM with them regularly to you know, set them up for the next show, and they're very big supporters of Phase One as well, and we appreciate that. So just wanted to take a moment, you know, early in the show to let everybody know that they're going to be our next guest, and we're excited to have them. Also, we're going to be announcing a winner later in the show for our subscription giveaway. And that's pretty much it. So, you know, The Rock, we're excited to have you here. We're going to get into some market talk now and just kind of go over a little bit of a rundown of kind of what we're seeing in the market. We're going to talk about some trading psychology. And that's it. We'll take some Q&A at the end.
Sure. Sounds good.
So, Chris, you have any questions for him?
Not any questions, but I kind of just want to go over like today's market action. And I know we saw, you know, Bitcoin take off, and that was just something. I mean, I traded Mara today. I'm sure a lot of people traded Mara today. But that was just something else. Like just seeing that, you know, Bitcoin, you know, coming up and doing that, and people thought, you know, oh, it's over, Bitcoin's done. It's like, well, you know, not really. So what are your thoughts on like Bitcoin? I know you're a big Bitcoin guy, Rock. So what are your thoughts on it?
You know, quite interestingly, I really wanted to buy Bitcoin back early last summer when it hit 12,000. I think it was like the first week of August. A lot of people were on Mara at that time. Mm-hmm. And I was a big Mara fan, along with Lizard, Yates, and Radio Silent Play was on Mara as well. So we had just this Mara gang going on. Mm-hmm. And as Bitcoin started breaking that 12,000 mark, I was like, why don't I just buy some Bitcoin now? And then, of course, it crashed, right? It hit 12,000, and then it crashed like 11 or 10.5, I think. That it was mm-hmm. a Saturday night. I remember very specifically. It was quite memorable. And so I never picked up some Bitcoins. But so sometimes I could be a little bit of laggard. So I did pick up finally a couple of Bitcoins back when it was 23,000 2 weeks ago. Right before Christmas, and I'm incredibly up on Bitcoin right now. So
I guess it made you Christmas, you could say.
I mean, thank you, Jesus, right? You know, the thing about Aura today too was because Mara closed out, I believe they closed out their offering today, and they had the news today that they're trying to create the first North America mining pool, which was really interesting. So that's what really got Mara going today. Because if you saw Mara's action over the last couple of days, there wasn't, you know, people are getting a little crazy, a little antsy about it.
And I think a lot of people got scared because of that dip. I was like, oh, I guess it's going under $10. I mean, it did hit under $10 briefly, but you can see how fast those shares were gobbled up. Like, it just went right back to 10. You know, it's like it kept that support. It was like that's 10, that 10 level was a really strong support there for it. And then we saw today's action. It's just like, you know, people, you see what people, you know, think about it. It's just like, yeah, this stock is not. Seems like, you know, if Bitcoin is running, that thing is going to go with it. So, and didn't they, aren't they upping their mining capacity this year too? I thought I saw something like that because they, with Bitmain, I saw something
Yes,
on that as well. So.
they're acquiring more miners from Bitmain, and that's really interesting. I think maybe 100 or 1,000 or something like that. I don't remember the number, but so the problem right now that I see within traders is that the psychology is that, okay, well, if they're gonna, you know, pick up all these miners, they're trying to be the best in North America. Eventually, at some point, I'm not trying to sound like a bear, but eventually at some point they're gonna need to raise money. Now, along with the Bitcoin value obviously going up, they are creating more revenue stream, which is good, but to their down payment on those miners are like 25, 30% upfront payments, or I think 50% upfront payments, as I've read their 10Q before. So it's interesting, but I'm glad that the confidence in Mara is back today and not the other one.
Yeah, exactly. Yep, exactly. I see someone said Mara Riot fun.
Mara, Mara is a lot of fun for sure.
Mara is a lot of fun. That's right. We have a riot with it.
I don't know why that doesn't get old. Like, some things just don't get old. Some
No.
gifts don't get old, and some stupid sayings like this don't get old.
No. Yeah, so well, let's talk about some SPACs. Let's move on to some SPACs as well. I know you're playing one that you mentioned, Rock. What was it? IPV? Was that the was that the one you dropped on
Yeah,
your Twitter handle?
you know, I wish I picked up on this one maybe weeks before. I would have probably got a better entry. However, the news kind of just flew into my Benzinga, and it's an IPV, inner private. So they are merging with Ava. So if you go to ava.ai, they have a beautiful website. The name is like really sexy by itself, Ava. I'm like, wow. You know, and so they raised, they got, they're backed by very prominent names like Lockheed Martin. They are backed by Porsche, Volkswagen. They are going, lo their SPAC is worth at least 2.1 billion. And it should be announced here in this quarter, at least in Q1, as I understand it from reading all the reports. And they received $200 million investment or common share buys just yesterday from another capital group. So,
Interesting.
terrific time to catch it right before this merger takes place. And what Ava does is they do 4D LiDAR technology, which is the industry leading technology at this point, as I understand it. Now, I'm not too well versed with LiDAR technology. I'm still learning this stuff, but it seems very promising. In addition to that, when you guys are looking at SPACs, you have to look at the management team and who's backing them, right? The co-founder and the CEO both came out of Apple and engineering teams. So that right off the bat is you know connecting the dots, right? What did we just learn about Apple over the last couple of weeks that they're getting into the EV space, right? And we know that they are looking for a LiDAR partner. Now, I'm not speculating. I'm not trying to say that, oh, yeah, because they have a relationship or they were, you know, Apple insiders that they're gonna, you know, be a matchmaking in heaven. I'm not saying that at all. I just think that it's quite interesting the timing of it all. So of course, Apple could look at VLDR. They can look at laser maybe or others, but I think there's good synergy between these two companies.
Oh yeah. Definitely, definitely. Yeah, but that I'm gonna just touch up on that again, where you said about the management. You're right. I mean, that's really the important thing when it comes to these SPACs as well, and the names that they attach themselves to, like the companies that they're already, working with. So it's like if you got a company that's, working with Amazon or that's already, got contracts with, big, other companies, then that's what you really want to look to, because I mean, that's your value right there. That's, your long-term, value on any of these SPACs. So it's, I mean, that's a great point. You brought that up, especially with the management,
Yeah, absolutely. The management is very critical with these SPACs. I mean, you want to see at least some of these folks have gone through prior SPACs like Gore's, like GHIV. I know a lot of folks are in GHIV right now with the United Wholesale Mortgage. Now, Alex Gore is obviously very prominent in this space, and he's done other SPACs as well. So whenever I see the people who's backing the SPAC or getting this started, and I see them already successfully carrying out other SPACs, that's been really, obviously successful. And that's kind of where you can put your money at.
Agreed, for sure, for sure. So, I guess since we're already talking about SPACs, we can kind of talk about EV.
Sure.
I mean, so, Tesla. I mean, we'll just talk up on, I know you've been all over that one. So, you want to tell us a little bit about your Tesla, your play, and how, what kind of got you into it, or not what kind of got you into it, but it's like, what are the indicators? Like, kind of like, oh, okay, this is, is it just the company itself? Is it Elon? Is it like what kind of got, what was the thing that got you into, Tesla itself?
Well, I think the face behind Tesla is obviously Elon, and Elon is very charismatic, if you will, right? And so he brings a level, he pumps the stock, whether you know it or not, right? I mean, their PR, their press releases are boring as heck, but he dances on the stage, and he pumps Dogecoin, and he does all these things, and he started the Boring Company, and then he starts selling tequila, sorry, and the whole flamethrower thing. So you watch this guy's charisma over the years, and it's like, how can you not back him? Because the attention, whatever he says, generally people follow, the Tesla fans, right? So I, for me, Tesla has an unbelievable story. I think, especially going into the next year, they are making revenues and creating an ecosystem of generating profitability, not just by selling the cars itself, but the services that goes along with it. You guys have seen it, right? If you guys own Tesla, you could pay X amount to upgrade your butt warmer, all right? Or X amount to have full autonomous driving when it's all completed and done. And now, I mean, you can actually upload an MP3 for your horn, right? You could actually want to say
I did
move.
see that, yeah.
So all that branding, the bears got it wrong. I think Tesla is even undervalued at this point because of what they can do. And obviously the analyst reports out of Morgan Stanley today says that they expect their deliveries this coming year to be double, or at least, at least double or so. So there's a tremendous amount of hype over Tesla. And now you have, of course, all these other EVs that everybody's been playing. And we're all kind of hoping that, okay, at least maybe Fisker will be the next Tesla, or try to catch, I don't know, Workhorse, not Workhorse, but what's the other one? Romeo, there's NGA, there's several others as well. So, yeah.
Oh yeah, there's tons. And right now, like, what's Tesla's price anyways right now? Like, seven, what
Seven
is
million.
this? 7 million. That's
I'm actually wearing my Tesla short shorts for this live stream.
and you
Are you
bought
really?
That's why we wanted we didn't want to do it as video. We did it just as audio because nobody wanted to see that. But
So the aftermarket high was 754.40. So right now it's a 752.
752.90. So, like, let's see, let me just do the math real quick. So right now the price, if it didn't do the split, the price right now Tesla would be $3,764. That's insane. For one share.
If this continues to go the way it has been, you're gonna see another split coming.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
It will get really crazy.
Well, Apple did the same thing. They did a split, back in like what 2010 or something like that, and they just did one last year. They did a 4-for-1 split.
Yeah, right.
So it's like
Right.
that's the thing. It's like these companies, they just blow past their highs from pre-split.
Well,
So.
people are missing. I mean, people aren't missing, but I mean, they're a technology company at the end of the day, Tesla. They're not so much even an auto. And at the end of the day, too, I mean, the battery storage business is in its infancy, and they're one of the first movers in there as well as Generac and Lockheed Martin. But battery storage is a huge addressable market that's coming up. That's something to look at as well. But yeah, I mean, people always love Tesla. It's just, I saw some question the other day on social media somewhere. It's like, if you can only trade one stock ever again, what would it be? And like 10 out of 10 answers were Tesla.
Agreed. That's
I could play Tesla all day. Yeah, if I just play Tesla the next year, I'll be fine,
Yeah.
one of those situations.
Tesla and Mara, I think, is all you really need to make money.
Just play those two stocks all year.
Tesla, Maru, and watch out for Neo, though. I mean, Neo is took a little cool off today. Had a huge run yesterday. They're heading into E or Neo Day this weekend. They're launching a new EV, and they are. I mean, as soon as they start selling their cars, potentially in the United States, you're looking at Neo can double quickly in price.
Yeah, I saw that. I mean, it dipped down to like $40 or just under 40 after hitting like 55, 60, whatever it was, and now it's right back to that range again. It's gonna test a high that it did before. So yeah, interesting. And it's crazy. That thing was like what, like $2 or something like that. Like it was like back in April, it was like $2. It's like it's
Rod,
insane.
do you have any infrastructure plays in mind? Like when we had Laid Back on here, he was saying, he goes, the EVs are great. All the car companies are great, but there's so many barriers to entry. There's competition. There's overhead. There's profit margins. But he's like, I'd rather buy the company that's selling the shovels to these people, And so he was big into like Blink and Plug and things like that. So are there any that are on your radar as far as just infrastructure plays, the supporting infrastructure to the EV
I was
market?
on, yeah, definitely. I was on SVE for a while back then, and then I did a little QS here and there before it tanked to like $50 a couple days ago. That was just insane. And I think Blink and Plug has a really bright future ahead of them. I mean, you're talking about all these states coming out with these mandates that, you know what, by 2030 or 2035, Massachusetts, California will no longer allow gasoline vehicles. So starting, going forward, you're going to see a huge shift in getting the infrastructure ready for charging. So the top players are going to be, SVE. It's going to be Blink and potentially Plug as well.
All right. I have I just want to steer the conversation a little differently here, and then maybe Chris, you could tee up the next market question in a second. I want to ask you some market kind of psychology questions. Nothing too crazy, but I think people, a lot of guests that come on our show, we like to kind of dig in to the guests even more just beyond the market itself. So I had some, I mean, I talk to you on a regular basis almost, right? But I still have some questions for you and that I'm curious about, and I kind of thought it would be kind of fun to do it here. Is that all right? All right. So every day you end off your last tweet with a religious saying or a biblical excerpt. I was just wondering, what role does your faith play in your trading, if any? And do some of the things that you do for your group and for your own trading goals, is that in line with maybe some goals you have in your faith as well?
Sure, absolutely. I think, back in May 2020, about what, 7 months ago or less than 7 months ago, that's when I started tweeting. Prior to that, I was already trading, but I've never thought about actually going online and look at FinTwit. I didn't even know what FinTwit was. So this is how far behind I am sometimes on social media. I mean, I had Facebook and all that, and so I've been in ministry. And I'm still in ministry today, so you guys know. I do chaplaincy, with a local hospital here. So I'm in ministry. And I believe that, you know, back in May when I got started on FinTwit, I just started tweeting about KTOF. If you guys remember KTOF, right? I started talking about Novin back then, and we started talking about Mara, and it just progressed. And all of a sudden, I became this notable person on FinTwit. And that was never the intention. What the intention was just for me to research and tweet about stuff that I like. It wasn't to grab followers. So I'm thankful for the fact that, you know, today I have, I don't know, 45, 46,000 followers, which is tremendous. I mean, I thank God for that. And I think it's really for a good purpose, to spread, to be an example, to be a light in this dark world, especially what we've seen in 2020, and to be a source of encouragement, and to end the day, to be thankful for everything that we have, and to just be a source of a light and encouragement for others, that not everything financial is evil, right? Stock traders, a lot of Christians shy away from the financial markets because, well, it's, you know, sometimes Wall Street is considered the big bad, you know, beast, right? So stock trading is a tool for a lot of Christians out there also to become financially independent. Yes, of course. I mean, all the things I do on Twitter, I do it for the glory and the honor of my Lord.
Yeah,
well said.
It's really well said. I really respect that. You know, I'm not a very religious person myself, but I do take a deep respect for your vision there. It's definitely commendable. I just wanted to ask you, so just kind of staying in that same direction, so what are some of your goals personally for 2021? Maybe social media goals, maybe goals just with your trading. What are some things that you're working on that you did, you know, that you think you could do a little differently this year that you were struggling with last year? You know, what are some things you have your sights on?
I think this year I definitely have set some family goals, vacation goals. I'm definitely trying to get out of the house this year, as soon as we have vaccines ready. So my wife and I, we enjoyed doing missions trips. So when we got married about a couple of years ago, we did a missions trip in Vietnam. We're trying to go back there. We did book a trip for end of this month, and unfortunately we had to cancel it because we did the traveling was just not, you know, there's too much stuff going on. But definitely I have some financial goals as well, right? If you start this year without a goal in mind, or where you would like to be in terms of your finances, your household, your family, you know, then, you know, if you aim at nothing, you hit nothing, right?
Exactly.
Right.
So yeah, I would hope that everybody, you know, everybody in your group and everybody in phase one, you know, has some goals written down, preferably on pen and paper, where they could stick it on your computer screen every day and stare at it. So
yes, you know, definitely.
I know you have goals. That's why I had to ask what they are, as kind of an inspiration for others that are listening, you know.
And the other thing for me, as far as social media, Twitter, you know, I don't have a goal in terms of where I would like to be in terms of followers, et cetera, or my brand. That's not what I'm really concerned about. Mm-hmm. What I do worry myself or concern myself with is the TRT group chat, and the people that's in there constantly trying to learn, trying to better themselves. And I want to help people to become financially independent through trading, through the courses that we offer and all the education materials that we offer through our chat. So, you know, I can't help everybody, right? But then there's going to be a couple of people that will step up and do their best.
Yeah, there's a lot of great people in your chat. You know, I definitely I'm one of them that participate in there. And what I've seen, the growth of your group has been you know, very impressive. I know I don't know when we started talking already, but I remember I reached out to you on Twitter at one point, and you said, "Hey, you know, I have this small group, this little Twitter group. Do you want to be a part of it? What, you know, what are your strengths?" And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what my strength is. I'm good at everything a little bit, you know? And so you were gracious enough to invite me in that small group. And then going back and forth a little bit, I said, you know, have you ever tried Telegram? I was like, you got to get Telegram, man. So fast forward however long it's been, and, you know, your Telegram group has blossomed into this ecosystem of just knowledge and some experienced people, inexperienced people, but generally the vibe in there every single day are people that are all on the same team trying to help each other and are honest with one another, which is very rare in this world. And I congratulate you on building such a great group of people over there.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And quite frankly, you know, the growing the group was never the intention. It was just a product of, you know, what's been going on with Twitter, a lot of people reaching out. And I know that when I started, you know, having a little group chat on Twitter, it was like me, you, and I think it was Adam or someone. I can't remember who it was. There was only a couple of us that was chatting on Twitter, and then we decided to move to Telegram, and all of a sudden this Telegram thing kind of blew up. That was never the intention. I never had plans. I don't plan to grow my presence. I just plan to help people and to, you know, have people to converse with about ideas and things like that. So all that was very, I didn't intend for that to happen, but I'm glad that, you know, things ended up the way they did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do notice you do stay away from a lot of the BS on Twitter. You're not one of the people that get involved in all the nonsense that makes nobody any money at all. And I think that does provide you, a very clear advantage to your message and your brand, that you don't get involved in all the nonsense that goes on Twitter every single day, because, you know, it may be entertaining to watch from the outside, but it really doesn't make anybody any money. So I do recognize that you're one of the very few bigger accounts on Twitter that's just not involved in all the nonsense. And I think your group is very focused because of that. And speaking of focus, my next question I wanted to ask you was, you know, you're on the West Coast, right? So, you know, watching and following your content and just participating in, you know, your line of info, I always wonder, like, do you sleep? It seems like you're always awake. It seems like there's just always news coming out and there's always charts blasting out. Yeah. And I'm saying to myself, you know, my question I've written down is, could you take me through your typical morning prep being on the West Coast? Like, what do you do? What does The Rock do when he wakes up in the morning? What's the first thing? Like, take me through, like, the prep.
Yeah, I mean, I've learned to be very disciplined over the course of my adult life, because I've learned what it takes to be a business owner. When I first started trading back in 2012, right after the recession, I started my own businesses because I was laid off from my corporate job. And I stepped away from corporate 8 years ago. And what I've learned throughout these years is that if you're going to make it on your own without having a regular 8 to 5 with benefits, you better hustle, right? Mm-hmm. It's yes, you can count on God to, you know, help you along the way, but you have to get yourself up in the morning and pump yourself up to be excited for the day ahead, for a new day of life, et cetera. So, you know, when I wake up in the morning, I the first thing I do is I tweet good morning. Yep. Right? You see my good morning tweets. And I do pray. I do read my scriptures in the morning as well. So you may not see me on Twitter for a couple hours after the opening, after pre-market opens. So, and then right about 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock is when I start engaging with the market. What do? I look at Benzinga all the time. So Benzinga has a dedicated screen on my system. So I'm always scanning the news. I'm looking at the pre-market runners. You guys are always looking at the Trade Ideas subscription that you guys have. I should get on that, by the way.
However, yeah, we're very big into Trade Ideas in the morning.
Yeah, yep. That's huge, right? And so I go through these motions and I kind of alert the group, hey, this is, you know, this might be going on, or I might be, you know, I might get into this, et cetera. So that's pretty much it. And of course, looking at my current positions, you know, to make sure we're all cool there. And then going through the news each morning. I love the news. It's a big factor in your trading. And don't be afraid to subscribe to tools like Trade Ideas or Benzinga or StockCharts.com, TradingView. You need these things to be a better trader.
Yeah, absolutely. Link in our description. Shameless plug. Trade Ideas. Shameless plug. So do you ever just sit back in your chair and just admire your new trade desk?
Yeah, sometimes.
No, it's pretty sweet. I wish I had like 15 monitors to check out everything.
Well,
I know
I would
Chris.
agree.
Chris has one monitor just for like Telegram.
I do. Just Telegram is just there, just for you guys.
Well, I do have what, so the screen on my right is for Twitter, my Twitter screen, and my center screen is Telegram, and my left side is Webull, and I use Captain Solutions as well, so I have to shift
Yeah.
between tabs. And of course, Benzinga is big too.
Do you
So,
do any TikToking in the morning while you're doing this ritual?
no, I've decided to cut out most of my social media presence, like Instagram. I'm gone from Instagram. I hardly check my Facebook anymore because Twitter has taken over my life. I don't do TikTok. I don't do Snapchat. None of that stuff. It's that's millennial. Gen Y Z stuff, and I can't deal with it. It's too much stuff.
All right, so I just have a few more and then we'll get back into market stuff. I just think these questions are kind of fun, and
That's good.
people who follow your content, I think this gets them the different side of you that people may or may not want to hear, right? So the rock trading, how did that start? Is that just because your face looks good on the rock on Reface, or like how did that start?
So when I the mistake that I made when I first started tweeting, if you guys knew me back in May and June, which I don't think you guys were there, but my Twitter handle was always my real name, okay? And so what had happened is as I was getting a bigger following, I was getting haters too. And so I would have people like literally message me about, oh, do you live here? Oh, is your wife named this? That kind of stuff, right? And of course, it doesn't help with when SNSS does a reverse split, right? And so all that just compounded. I was like, why am I using my name? And it's just silly, right? And so I decided to come up, and I was brainstorming, and I said, you know what? The Rock trading sounds pretty good. I'm not trying to be like Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, but The Rock. In the scripture, God is my rock and my fortress, right?
Gotcha,
So
like that.
Jesus is the cornerstone, all right? So this name, this whole brand came about because of my duties to my God. So that's why I named it The Rock Trading. And of course, with that, what people most recognize with The Rock is Dwayne Johnson. So I've been using his GIFs all over the place.
Yeah, that's just a good marketing ploy of yours.
I mean,
I was trying to
Eric,
find a
you got
good
the
one for
mask.
the Yeah, exactly. Me, I came up with the mask for the same reason, where I had my name on, and I had this conversation with The Rock. I said, I'm using my name too. I gotta change this. Some people are gonna hunt me down here. So what I did was, I'm like, well, everybody's wearing masks because of coronavirus, and The Mask is a great movie, and there's plenty of GIFs that I can use to like use it. And you know what? It's recognizable. Like, it's something that's recognizable on social media and helps kind of like steer the brand a little, and it's just fun. It's just fun and stupid,
Exactly.
What's my next? I got just like one or two more here. So you're a sports gambler, are you not?
No, I'm not.
Oh, I thought you gamble on football, man. You tweet like crazy about football.
I love football.
But you're not gambling? I figured you're
No,
like betting it.
I don't. I used to a long, long, long time ago in my previous life. I was a poker player. I was
Nice.
a uh, it was uh, I even dabbed in being a bookie at one point before DraftKings was even DraftKings. So that was a long time ago, but I don't do that anymore because it's unproductive and
Yeah,
it's
because
not a good
my question was going to be,
thing.
if you did do that, like, how do you separate the mindset from gambling to trading? But I guess I don't have to answer that. I don't have to ask that because that's kind of
Trading,
difficult.
obviously.
Like, for people who do both, that's got to be difficult to separate that mindset.
Well, it's interesting that as I go through FinTwit, you'll see a lot of top, these accounts, several of them, they do, DraftKings and FanDuel and all that stuff, or more fantasy stuff too. But I mean, stocks is you're making money off technical indicators, a calculated risk, okay? With spreads and sports spreads, it's really a gamble, right? I mean, you would think that the Steelers can beat the Browns by, or I'm sorry, some other crappy team by 10 points, but they don't. because there's no controlling factors when it comes to sports gambling. So you're really never in control.
Yeah.
So, and anyway, I only tweet out my picks with the spreads just to make myself look right. That's all I do. Don't take it very seriously and start betting on my picks. I mean, they're just for fun. They're for entertainment purposes.
So I think that's kind of like a good segue back into market conversation. And as far as like gambling and gaming, you know, there's SPACs out there, there's stocks out there. You know, I know a few that I like, that I have, that I'm watching. Are there any in particular that you're kind of eyeballing right now? I mean, gambling and gaming, you know, is a very big up and coming total addressable market. A lot of these states, their budgets are hurting right now because of coronavirus. And in my opinion, they're more likely to adopt that than even legal marijuana. I think gambling is going to come even before that. But what are your thoughts on that space? I know it's a very hot space right now.
Well, the Flying Eagle Corporation, the FEAC, turned into Skills, right? So I was there for that pre-merger. So that was a big one. DMYD, if you guys haven't seen, tweet about it. Now, Genius Sports does have partnerships with the NBA, I believe, also the NFL, and they even a data provider for DraftKings, right? So DMYD is holding very well at 16s, and they haven't came out with the vote date yet. So it's expected to be some point in Q1. So DMYD is one of my favorites. The other one that's a level one SPAC right now with no announcements, IGAC. If you guys don't know about that one. So the guys that started or invested in FanDuel or Ripple, I think, are the guys behind IGAC. So the idea behind IGAC is that they're going to take another gaming company public through that one. But however, that is a level one SPAC, no announcement. It's, you know, we don't know when that announcement will come. It could be Q1, it could be, you know, later this summer.
Yeah.
So those are my top two there.
Nice. Well, let me just switch gears real quick here. Let's talk about just like things like trades that you're looking at right now, or like maybe longer term trades right now, short term trades. Like, what are just maybe it's like two long term trades, two short term trades. What are your two long and short term trades? Like for me, I'll start like my long term trade is BFT. I mean, you know, I've been all over. That's thing. BFT is the same thing, same deal as before, you know, with the gambling, and they're trying to get into, you know, all that e-gambling and all that. And it's got a lot of stuff behind it. It's got the, you know, the $9 billion valuation. It's got the $2 billion pipeline led by Bill Foley. It's got some crazy stuff going on. They're going to be closing Q1, Q2 of this year. So that's going to be interesting to see. That's PaySafe. That's what that stock is. Yep. So, and another one, I would say I'm going to say Fubo. Okay. And the reason I'm saying that is because I missed a run. Okay. I initially missed a run to $10. At $10, my friend, I'm sure my friend Trevor right now is watching. He's like, he knows exactly, because I mentioned it to him. I was like, hey, this Fubo stock, man, looks great at $10. Like it was like at $10.88 or something like that. I'm like, yeah, you know, I'll wait for it to come down. Maybe it'll go under. I didn't know anything about SPACs at the time. So I'm like, maybe it'll come down to like, you know, $8, $9, whatever. Like, I didn't think of like taking a starter. I'm like more aggressive on SPACs now. So I'm like, you know, taking starters, anything around the $10 range. I'm like, hey, you know what? Take a starter here, or take a bigger position here, because that's usually the base level for most of these SPACs. But yeah, that's the one I missed completely the boat on. I'm just like, when I saw it, you know, when I saw it being oversold today, you know, for the last couple of days, I'm like, you know what, that's kind of insane. It's dropped like, you know, 50% since its high. It's like, and you know, shorts are all over. Like, the thing is, like, this company has revenue, you know. This company, you know, it's got big names behind it, you know. A lot of people have, you know, their eyes on it. So it's just and then people make the reference between like Roku and stuff, and it's like, you know, it, obviously it's appealing and stuff, but when I saw, you know, the shorts just attack, and it's just like, you know what, eventually the thing is gonna have to give. And that's exactly what happened today. Like, that thing that really did, you know, break those the resistance levels. Like, it was $27. It's like, if it breaks 27, it's gonna go to 30. That's just it. And that's exactly what it did. So,
Well, I mean, Fubo was an easy target. Whenever you have a 500% runner in month and a half or 6 weeks that I was in there, and I'm still in there, by the way. So you're going to, it's an easy, easy target. Look what happened to Neo when it ran to 57 from two, right? And you, anytime you have these big runners, you're going to have guys like Citron and Andrew Left and all these, whatever that other guy is, Carisdale. That guy's funny. Come after it for a quick buck. And that's what happened, right? And then finally, the Bulls article came out this weekend. You have Needham reiterate their buy, and they also came out with the PR this morning, reiterating their guidance, actually upping their Q4 guidance, and they're actually making more money than they said they were going to make. So you have all these things that's going to really put Fubo it's going to be in my long category for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. You look at companies like Roku in 2018, when they climbed up to $65, $68 or so at that time, and it took a violent sell-off down to like 30, and look where it's at today. Okay. Yeah. Now I'm not going to, I can't speculate that Fubo is going to be like a Roku. I think there are going to be some differences there. It's definitely not going to be the Roku of the future, but I think there's plenty of growth opportunities. Especially when you heard, when you saw on the press release, they said today that they're going to remain laser focused on execution, their subscriber growth, and also on TV wagering. Okay.
Yeah.
So when you combine those things, that's a very, very bullish statement to me from the CEO. And so I'll write it.
Yep, was it one of the insiders, or not one of the insiders, but one of the analysts reiterated the $60, price target on it too. Wasn't that today? That this morning? I think it was this morning too. When you talked about it too. So.
Yeah. And then you had another article over the weekend from the girl, she's a contributor on Forbes. I forgot her name. But anyway, it was a great article as well. So we'll see what Fubo does. I mean, I think short term, if you're in it for short term, you're going to see these price fluctuations. Mm-hmm. Okay, for sure. There was a one point where we got stuck in $27 level and it jumped to 60. Okay, yep. So it just needed a push, and that happened very, very quickly in the blink of an eye. But if you're in it for short term, you're going to get a little stressed out with the price action. But if you're looking at it from a long term investment perspective, I honestly think by end of this year or next year, it's $100 stock or more.
Yeah, easily. Yeah. I mean, is what it seems at this rate, for sure.
At this rate, we're talking by summertime.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. That's it. And any short-term trades, or you're mostly just long on a lot of things?
I'm only long about four or five positions at any given point. I'll do a couple of short swings. One of them is Sun W for me. Sun W is one I got into a couple weeks ago. It's been accumulating or consolidating at this level for quite a bit now. If you guys have been watching the charts and watching me talk about it, of course. So Sun W is going to be a good one. Once any type of catalyst will, just push this, at least to $8, or that's what I'm anticipating. GHIV is short one for me as well. Same with POC. If you guys know IPOC, Clover Health, GHIV, EUWF, I'm going to swing this into probably up to the post-merger right after that. These are great opportunities. You're looking at a $16.1 billion SPAC with UWM and IPOC. Clover Health is already partnering with Walgreens and Walmart. A lot of excitement behind these two. So these are kind of my two short ones.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, and then just going back on the energy real quick, PPSI spiked today like after hours. And one thing that I thought right away, like I know they had news this morning about forging a path to higher brand bandwidth with Fujitsu and Power Intel. I saw that this morning, and then it spiked after hours. I was like, okay, that's going to be interesting. So the first thing I thought about, like, watch all energy sympathies tomorrow into pre-market.
Sure. Yeah.
So I was thinking like Paula, Peck, what is the other ones?
SPI.
SPI, OPTT, WWR, Sun W. Yeah, it's like all those you got to like start specking. You got to look into those.
Yeah, definitely a strong watch for the morning, Chris, especially SPI with that float.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's been typically, it's been finding support around like 760 on the chart.
Yeah.
So, you know, anything under 8 is not a bad spec here.
Yeah.
But I'll be watching that very early tomorrow morning, SPI.
Yeah. Definitely a sector watch tomorrow on just that spike. So,
sure.
For sure.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, just let me just change gears. Day election. I know maybe Eric, you want to chime in a little bit on that?
Yeah, I mean, we're not a political show. We're not about to get political, but at the end of the day, you know, if it moves markets, we like to talk about it. So, you know, obviously there's implications if the Dems get the Senate or not. So, I mean, me personally, what I'm doing is I'm looking at pot stocks. That's the way I'm going to play it.
Sure.
You know, I was just wondering, Rock, if there's anything that you're eyeing around. I mean, some people say that they don't trade around election results, which is a very acceptable answer, but yeah. I think in the penny stock world, you know, why not? It's going to provide some volatility potentially in pot stocks. You know, so for me, the way I'm playing the election, I'm not playing the whole DJLY thing. I'm just like, it was a good spec at 230. Let's not kid ourselves. But at the end of the day, I'll keep my eye on CETX tomorrow just in case things get a little nutty with the result. But, you know, generally, I think the way to play it right now is pot stocks. They're pretty beat up, and I have my eyes on a few. I mean, I know a lot of eyes are on, like, what is it, Sundial. I had a big position in IGC that I actually sold today at $1.71 and $2. I was kind of, I could tell, long story short, it wasn't ready yet. So I'm like, let me just dump my shares, get this back in cash overnight. But it's still a very strong spec for me. So is there anything that you're watching around the election?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be your pot stocks, your TLRY, ACB, Sundial. I don't play Sundial because that the volatility on that penny stock is so, man, if you're not patient, that thing could stop out really quick on that. But I do like TLRY, ACB. I played it before. You are looking obviously at, again, EV stocks, Biden, I don't know what the status is. I haven't kept up with the politics and all the news that's going on, but if Biden is supposed to take over the administration, come January 2021, inauguration day, you're going to have, another wave of EV, bullish, factors on the EV space.
And yeah, for sure.
Biden wants to build 500,000 charging stations, et cetera, as part of his administration goals. So those are primarily two I'm looking at.
Yeah. Are there any sectors that you're staying away from in 2020 or just around the near term or the year overall?
2021, not any particular sectors. I'm always open to various sectors as long as they, you know, there's a good trade to go into. But I would say there's this new wave of psychedelics.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Stocks, OTC is something personally for me, I stay away from. I don't like OTC. Mm-hmm. That's personal choice. I know there's a lot of OTC bulls out there. And of course, the psychedelics starts getting, it's interesting to me, but it's not something I would touch because because of certain, obviously my faith and my beliefs about these kind of, substances.
Of course.
So I'm not really, going to be touching that.
Yeah.
Well, they say if you have a very good imagination, you probably should stay away from it. So maybe you should just say that.
Yeah. Definitely not.
Yeah.
It's a space that we're definitely looking at. On our side, and like a lot of the top guys in phase one, we've been looking at it for months and we're trying to find the winners. I mean, a few that we like, or really just one, is MindMed. The ticker is MMEDF. It's probably the most legitimate company in the space. There's ties with like Kevin O'Leary from Shark Tank, and there's a lot of, prominent investors that are associated with it. Yeah, Bruce Linton. So, Bruce Linton, for those of you who are not familiar, was the CEO of Canopy Growth Corp before he resigned. And then, we all like to play the down and dirty one, which is Mine, MINE. That made us a lot of money in the last couple of weeks. I know Chris and I wrote it from like 0002 to like way higher.
Yeah.
And then what we do is we also use the GIF from Finding Nemo, where all of the seagulls are like on the rock in the ocean. They're like, mine. So yeah, we use that GIF, and it's just a lot of fun to trade that stock.
Yeah, hilarious. Definitely. Yeah. So let's go ahead and move on to Q&A. I saw some questions on the chat here. Let's see.
Wait, before you do that, Chris, we're giving away a membership.
Oh, yeah.
We'll do that.
You want to do that now? We can do that now. We can do the membership giveaway now.
Yeah, let's do that now. That's fun.
Well, let's do that. All right. So
give the people what they want.
Give the people what they want. All right. So if you guys know, we put out that post on social media where, you know, if you like and retweet, with a hashtag P1Talks, you enter to win a 1-year subscription. And we used a random generator to pick that subscription, and there was only about like 9 people that actually followed the way you're supposed to do it, so which is fine. I mean, like, better odds for other people. So and I already got the member picked out on here, so I'm just going to change my screen here. So the winner is, and should be popping up on the screen here, his name is sorry about that. My mic just got off.
Well, while he figures that out, everybody should like the stream that we're currently on. Follow The Rock. Follow me. Follow Chris. Follow everybody.
Yeah.
So this is the winner right here.
Like, share, subscribe.
Yeah, like, share, subscribe. @_JMB22. Yeah. Congratulations. You won a 1-year subscription to our channel.
Cool.
Congratulations, cool.
Congratulations,
John, wherever you are.
Yeah, right. If you're in the chat, congratulations.
No, there's no refunds.
Yeah, no refunds. No refunds on free.
All right, so let's do some Q&A.
Yeah, let's go to Q&A real quick then. Let's go back to
everybody.
This.
Could,
yeah, let's
anybody see. Who's in the chat, just fire let's off.
Let's see. Any questions? Let's see. Is Mare a long-term move? Are you worried about blockchain becoming obsolete? What do you guys think about that?
What was the question?
Is Mara a long-term move, and are we worried about blockchain becoming obsolete? Well, I mean, I personally think it's a long-term gain. Just the thing is, like, as Bitcoin, you know, goes up, the stock is also going to go up, just because they're, like I said before in the show, they're upping their capacity, you know, on mining. So, I mean, if you guys want to add anything else to that, I mean, like, I really think Mara, honestly, is a long-term hold for me. And that's basically it with that. So, like, what do you think? You think it's a long-term hold, and you think, you know, Bitcoin is just going to go away soon? Or, I mean, they're calling it like digital gold. What was that? I saw something on Twitter. It was like, you know, if it becomes like, you know, the digital gold currency, it'll be, you know, it's going up to like, you know, $132,000 or something like that per Bitcoin. I was like, whoa. So
I'm not sure if Mara is a long-term hold. It just depends on your strategy, right? Sure. I think everybody needs to adopt a strategy when it comes to whatever stocks they go into. You have to create some criteria for yourself in terms of the DD. You got to look at the DD of the company, where they're going, and all that. I mean, for me, Mara is always, it used to be a long for me. I scalp it here and there. Not necessarily a long-term for me. Long-term strategy is Bitcoin itself for me, quite honestly. Gotcha. So I don't, as far as the question goes, is blockchain going to be obsolete? I don't think so. I mean, I don't see any reason for that.
Yeah.
I think if the government keeps printing money at the rate that they're going, it will never be obsolete.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. And if the new administration, they're going to, maybe they'll pass a $2,000 check bill or more COVID response or a stimulus bill. We don't know what's going to happen next this coming year. Even with the vaccines out, by the way, that's great. But I mean, is the mom and pop shops opening back up? That's what everybody's wondering. If that doesn't happen, you're going to see continued stimulus throughout this year.
Yeah. Yep. There's actually a question in the chat. How impactful is the Georgia runoff? So I would say, yeah. I mean, if the Dems get the Senate, it's probably more likely that,
you know,
McConnell doesn't get in the way of just blocking this $2,000 stim, right? So yeah. I guess not only pot stocks would probably benefit, but most likely more stimulus would be a little easier at that point, right? Which is good for the market. I mean, there's definitely an injection of cash, and we've seen it. You know, we've seen it during the first round of stimulus, and the market was crazy right after that happened. So I would say it's pretty impactful, honestly, that this runoff. I think I'm going to be watching it, you know, not for the political implications, but for the financial implications.
Yeah, you're going to see a BTC continue running if that happens. If 2000 stimmy check comes out, you're looking at, I mean, just a massive influx of cash into potentially into the market, you know?
Definitely.
Captain Solutions in the chat says, how do you manage risk? Chris, how do you manage risk?
How do I manage risk? Taking profits. There you go. That's well, you got to always have a, you, when you're already going to, you know, I mean, Lizard says it correctly. He says, I mean, we all say, like, whenever you get into a trade, you always have to have a plan. Always have a plan, you know, what's your goal? Like, for example, like when I do swing trades, I know where I'm, you know, I know where my goal is. I know what I'm trying to look for here. So if you, even if it's like, okay, I mean, if it's hitting a 200 SMA or something, or if like, if it's hitting, you know, a previous, you know, resistance level, then I know I can cut profits at certain miles. So that's what I do. I set milestones for myself, and I start taking profits that way. Obviously, you know, like there's always that, like, the chance that it can run, you know, even higher. But the thing is, like, there's a bunch of plays out there, so you know, you don't have to marry, you know, one certain stock. You know, there's hundreds of other ones that you can play, and you know, so it depends on what kind of trader you are. Like, if you're a day trader, then you just, you know, you're gonna day trade some stuff, and sometimes your day trades. Sometimes my day trades are like, you know, like 15 minutes, you know, 10 minutes, 5 minutes. Sometimes they're 4 hours, 30 seconds, or sometimes they're 4 hours, or maybe, you know, I buy in the morning and a night, sell in the afternoon, you know, that's considered day trade. Swing trades, I obviously treat differently. You know, those are the ones I set on, you know, those are the ones I care slightly more about. I mean, I don't really care too much about it, but I still, you know, slightly, you know, care more about it than that. And then my long-term trades are obviously completely different, because those are the ones that I see value in, and I keep those and I hold those for a little longer, because I see, you know, again, going back to management and going back to, you know, like, especially with these SPACs, you know, there's a lot of potential there. So, but otherwise, yeah, how do I manage risk? Is just take profits, you know, set milestones for yourself and take profits. That's it. Yeah. I mean, you don't win if you don't take profits. That's just it.
Exactly.
It's like, what are you doing?
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Hey, Rock, what's your favorite breakout continuation chart pattern?
Breakout continuation chart pattern would be probably, well, you know, you have your bull flag, you have your cup and handle. That's where you meet, if that's what she means. You have your falling wedges, ascending triangles. There's so many of them. But you know what? I mean, I post up a lot of pro tips. You guys see my 10 a.m. pro tips, 1 p.m. Mm-hmm. pro tips. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so many different patterns that can happen throughout the day or throughout any stock. I don't try to make people learn every single one. If you can just be very comfortable with one or two patterns that you can just recognize while you're sleeping, you can make a living just by doing that, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. There's so many indicators, right? Keep your charts clean. There's so many different EMAs, moving averages, oscillators, and insulators. I'm sorry, that's not even a word. There's just so many, right? And if you guys see my charts that I post up, very clean, very just down to the point. And all you need is that one pattern that you're very comfortable with, and you can make a living off trading stocks.
Exactly.
Yeah, I really like that idea of, like, keeping things simple. I mean, when I'm trading in the morning on just, you know, gap trades in the morning where I'm just buying that first pullback, I mean, I'm looking at the EMA 9. I'm looking at the 20, the 20-day MA. I'm looking at VWAP, and I'm looking at the 200-day MA and volume. And that's it.
Yeah.
That's all I'm looking at. It's very simple.
Basically, that's all just I need. Basically do what works for you. Like, what's going to make you money? That's what you should be focusing on. Like, find a strategy that works for you, that's making you money, and go with that. Master it. You need to master that strategy, and that's what you need to work on. So once you do, you know, once you develop that strategy, you can go on and explore different other, you know, other ideas, you know, other strategies, you know, but right. Master one that works for you and one that's going to make you money, because that's the whole purpose of what you're doing. You know, why are you're making money for yourself, for your family, for, you know, whatever it is, for your own, you know, your own, well, it's just, you know, that's all it's about. Just master one strategy, you know, if it makes you money, that's it.
Yeah, find your own style.
Yeah,
I think a lot of people, I think a lot of people can agree that, you know, if you're new to trading, you know, try to cancel out all the noise on social media, and you know, find your own groove, find your own strategy. You know, exactly what Chris says, find what works for you. I think what people are doing is they're getting all hopped up and they're looking at 100 different things on Twitter every day, and they're not able to figure out who they are as a trader because they're just watching who everybody else is as a trader. And you're never going to succeed unless you start finding what works for you. So, exactly, you know, so anybody who's listening that's a new trader, it's you know, start finding that one pattern or that, you know, that second pattern that is your go-to. And you know what? If you don't see those patterns during the day, don't trade.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You don't have to force a trade at all.
Yeah.
And another thing is, like, a lot, I want to mention this as well, since we're on this topic, you know, don't look at 100 different stocks at once too. That's another thing a lot of people do. They look at 100 different things and they don't know what to buy, and then they feel nervous, or they're like, you know, they're in a bunch of trades all at once and they're like, oh, I got to sell here, I got to buy here, I got to sell here. It's like, just work on just pick two or three that are set up correctly, that are set up, the, you know, depending on whatever you know, filters that you have in place, and then trade around that. That's the way I see it, you know, whenever I'm day trading or swing trading something, you know. And a lot of people obviously don't have, like, you know, bigger accounts or anything. A lot of people are starting with like $500, $1,000, but the thing is, like, no matter what you're starting with, your mentality should always be the same, where, you know, you should be focusing on making money, and how you make that money, by implementing the strategies you're learning along the way. And it's like, it's okay if you lose, you know. Sometimes your biggest loss is your biggest asset. It's like, okay, now I know not to do that again, you know, so you learn from it. So just learn from your mistakes and become a better trader. That's basically it.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree with you more there. Yeah, just don't overcomplicate things. I know that FinTwit and every technical analysis book that you pick up is going to throw at you so many different things, concepts and ideas. I think they're all very legitimate, obviously, and they can all be rewarding. But at the end of the day, like you guys are saying, right, just pick one that's really going to work for you and use that one. And then once you move on, you can find other indicators. But just keep things simple. Don't overcomplicate things. And I think that's what holds back from decision making, right? You're looking at all these candles and the different types of candles, and as if it's a doji or it's a hanging man or it's a shooting star, you know, you get all like combined, you know, all crazy over it, and you don't end up making a decision. So, it's money on the table.
Yep.
Exactly. Right, so just keep it simple.
Let's see. Is there any other questions on here? Let's see.
Take like one more.
Yeah, we could take one more before we close out. Let's see.
We're trying to keep our shows to like a reasonable amount of time. What winds up happening is we get all these cool people that come on our show and we wound up talking for like 2 hours. And then we look at it on the replay. We're like, man, we went 2 hours and 15 minutes. Nobody's going to listen to the entire thing. We got to shorten these things.
Yeah.
But we'll go as long as anybody would want, but. Yeah, one or two more questions, I think, would be fine.
Yeah, let's see. I see Kevin. What is the largest untapped market for this year? Not mentioned by FinSwift Daily. Largest untapped market this year. Well, I mean, like a specific sector. That's probably what you, I think that's what you're trying to say, Kevin. Let's see if he answers that. I think that's what he's trying to say. So, I mean, what sector has not been? I mean, like, I have a rotation list that I go through. I go through China plays. I go through marijuana stocks. I go through Bitcoin. I go through energy. I go through EV. You know, like, there's a whole. So it's like, and SPACs move on the market, on the Dow. You know, if it's down, then obviously SPACs are gonna have a bad day and stuff. So, you know, usually. So, I don't know, like mushrooms. Mushrooms are but what else?
How about travel?
Travel? I mean, yeah, travel. I have United Airlines on one of my long trades still. And once, you know, once COVID's out of the way and we go back to normality, it's like people are going to want that need to travel again, you know, because people are cooped up. Like Rock, you said, what do you want to do? Like the first thing you said, not the first thing you said, but you were saying earlier on the show, you said that's what you want to do. You want to go on vacation, you know, you want to travel and stuff. So, exactly what people want to do. And
what travel stocks are you looking at, Rock? Are you looking at any? I mean, when this vaccine deployment really finishes. I mean, I would think like mid to late summer this year, you're going to see an explosion of travel and every stock. I mean, I think the stocks are, the market is already adjusting for it. If you look at, you know, all these travel related names, even like Booking Holdings and Expedia and like all these companies.
Right. You're looking at airlines, you're looking at cruise lines. Again, that those are major two indicators for me, where you see, if you see UAL, DAL, what is it, Spirit, Love, Southwest, you see those stocks get moving, you're going to see a lot of the other stocks. And of course, Airbnb is going to be a big one too. I still think it's a very overpriced IPO, but it is what it is. And the cruise lines, the one that I always watch out for and how it moves is OSW, One Spa World. So they operate spas on different cruises and also throughout vacation resorts throughout the world in Asia. So that's a huge one right there. Prior to COVID, it was like an $18 stock and it's trending at $9 right now. So it's working its way to recovery and it's like almost halfway there. So yeah, those are kind of ones I always look at.
Gotcha. Let's see. James Warren said, what percentage of your account do you balance long-term and short-term? Mine is 30-70 is what I do. And that's just my own personal preference. But that's my way of doing it. And usually any profits I make on like any day trades or something, and if I lack a stock, like I'll just basically go on the back burner on my long-term trade. So do you guys have like a specific percentage that you guys put on your long-term in terms of like your portfolio or anything, or it's just like what do you guys usually do for long-term trades?
For me, it's I have 50% cash at all times. Mm-hmm. And the other 50 are within swing trade, long, short, doesn't matter. And the rest, I allocate maybe a smaller percentage for scalps and day trades.
Gotcha.
So, you know, at any given time, I really like to keep it liquid in case opportunities come up. I can't stand it. I've done it before where all my buying power is just like on one stock or back in the day, or in just a few swings, and it kind of gets boring after staring at these prices all day long, right? So you want to have buying power in case opportunities come up, right? You know, sometimes a halt, you know, a circuit breaker might go off or an option activity might go off, and you know, you want to keep that liquid just to have opportunities. And I always tell a lot of people, the longer you're in a trade, the longer your money is stuck in the market, the risk becomes higher and higher. You just don't realize it.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah, that's how I manage my risk, is don't get emotionally attached to certain things. So my biggest thing that I do to manage my risk is just limiting my hold times with things. I have a question for you. I'm going to ask one more question. I think we're going to sign off after that. But, you know, do you have multiple accounts or different strategies, or do you implement different strategies within the same account?
So I have one account where I primarily use, which is Webull. I do have also, last year I opened up a TDA where I do all my long-term investing stuff and also dividend stocks as well. So, it's actually cool to have multiple accounts. You guys don't need to have just one account, because, if you're in a long stock in the same account as your short swing, right? You're looking at the prices all day long. You get a little emotional, right? I mean, I'll admit it, right?
Right.
You get a little emotional, so you gotta start moving stuff of your frequently used account and just have an account where you're not monitoring it on a minute-to-minute basis. Okay. And it doesn't hurt to have a Roth IRA as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. The way I do it is I have multiple accounts for different strategies. That's just the way doing things.
Yeah.
Hey, so, you know, before I do our kind of sign off on the show, I know, Rock, I don't know if you mentioned this earlier or not, but you're doing Benzinga pretty soon. You're pretty excited about that. When is that? You want to plug that?
Yeah. So I'm going to be on probably lunch hour on Monday when Benzinga's lunchtime show. And they're going to have, they want me on their SPAC attack show some point next week as well. Nice. So I will tweet it out once I know the schedule. But I'm very honored to be even interviewing with anyone, I mean, let alone Benzinga. So I'm very humbled.
Yeah, very cool. Well, we're happy you came on our little show. You know, we're the little show that's doing big things. So little by little in 2021, we're going to just be doing more and more things, bigger and bigger. And, you know, we encourage everybody that listens to us live, that listens to us on the replay, you know, reach out to us in the chat, reach out to us on Twitter. Let us know, you know, what you like about the show, what you don't like about the show, some ideas that you'd like to see the show do in the future, some guests that you might have on. If there's anybody that's listening that would like to be on a guest on our show, reach out to us via DM. That'd be great. We'd love to have you on. Everybody, don't forget, we're going to be having Captain Solutions on as our next guest. That's going to be January 19th. That's not next Tuesday, the following Tuesday. We're really excited to have them on. They're going to be talking about their platform again. And again, thank you to everybody who you know, supports our content, listens to our show, you know, likes everything that we do. You know, it drives us to do good, you know, by you as well. We're excited for 2021. We think you're really going to be excited and very surprised who we're going to have on this show in the next few weeks, in the next few months. And we just constantly want to keep giving you guys good content. And we appreciate you hanging out with us tonight. Rock, thank you so much for coming on and hanging out. You're, you know, a good friend of Phase One Trading, and now you're a good friend of P1 Talks, and we'd love to have you back on in the future as well.
Of course. Thank you guys so much for having me on.
All right. So everybody listening, you know, best of luck to you this week. Best of luck to you in 2021. Make it a healthy, happy, profitable year for yourselves. All right.
Yes, sir. Thank you guys all.
Thanks, Rock.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.